chapter 10. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. Hallelujah. Stand as we read. Hallelujah. John 10, chapter 10. Hallelujah. The thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Say amen.
Amen.
Father, breathe on your word. Cause the anointing to flow through this ministry to and fro, from the front to the back, to every believer in this place. Destroy the yokes. Let the anointing destroy every yoke. God, we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come, let us pray for you. Yes, sir. Amen. Put your hands on him. Pastor Hines, Pastor Minor. Hallelujah. In this life, we wrestle with so many different issues. And every now and then, God comes in and he wants to break a yoke. Because that's what it becomes. It becomes a daily issue. That's a yoke. Something that you really don't have to go through if the Lord has anything to do with it. And so we're just trusting God. Stretch your hands this way, please. Father, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Father, we just give you praise for divine intervention. Lord, you know his affairs. You know everything about him. You know what he's dealing with. You know what he wakes up to and what he goes to sleep to. And Father, he needs to have your rest. And Father, in his life, Lord God, certain things come up, Lord, that take away what you have given him. So, Father, we're trusting right now, Father, for divine intervention. Father, that you would destroy this yoke before it becomes a yoke of bondage. Father, that you may free him to be what he wants to be in you. There is a level that you're trying to take him to. And Father, the enemy is trying to hold him back. And Father, so right now we just agree together, Lord God, that you would set this captive free, that he would proclaim victory. Hallelujah. That you would move on his behalf, give him favor. Even as he stands before those, God, who have so-called power, Lord God, you show where the power really comes from. Father, we thank you for a mighty deliverance. We thank you, Father, for a new beginning. We thank you for restoration in Brother Mike's life. Father, we give you praise. Let every yoke be destroyed. In the name of Jesus, we're standing in his behalf. Father, we're ascending to the throne in his behalf. And we give you praise. We thank you for victory. In Jesus' name. Let him proclaim victory this Thursday. Let him walk free this Thursday. Let him have joy this Thursday, knowing that your hand has been on his life. And we thank you now. Thank you for favor. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. I just keep hearing the Holy Spirit say, I want you to continue to worship me. I want you to continue to praise me. I want you to act like everything has happened, just like you see it to be happening. Because he is working. He says, I'm not going to show you everything because you try to get it and you want to try to fix it. You're trying to make it be. But he said, all he needs you to do is whatever he's speaking to you, you just do that. God said, I'm taking care of the rest. And I want you to just continue to worship me. Just continue to worship me like it's already done.
Hallelujah.
Because when you know without a shadow of doubt in your mind that God has got you, he's got you right back here. No matter what any situation comes up in your life, you got to know without a shadow of doubt, without a shadow of doubt, that God is in control. And he'll never, ever see the righteous forsaken. Hallelujah. Rejoice, rejoice, continue to worship and thank God just like, no matter, I don't care what somebody else says, just keep on. I don't even know the depth of the situation or nothing, whatever it is. I just keep saying, just worship me, just worship me. It doesn't matter what man say, because he said he's in control. Amen.
Hallelujah. Rejoice for the steps. I haven't heard that in a long time. I just came across my mind when you said that. The ordered of God, they are ordered of God. Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man. They are ordered of God. In the of trouble, God will thing. He will uphold. Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man. They are ordered of God. They are ordered of God. Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man. They are ordered of God. In a time of trouble, God will preserve you. God will uphold you. God will sustain you. In the time of trouble, God will lift you up. So rejoice, your steps are ordered of God. So rejoice for the steps of a righteous man. They are ordered of God. Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man. They are ordered of God. Hallelujah. Your steps are ordered. Hallelujah. Your steps are ordered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Today we're beginning a series of messages entitled Life Is. And hopefully we'll cover some things that, thank you, Mr. Chavis. Thank you, Pastor Vanna. Hallelujah. It is my hope and desire that our lives will experience both challenge and change. Perhaps God our Father will communicate to us his plan, purpose, and position for us in this hour. I'm sure that some of us will find that life comes and carries a more exceeding weight of glory than we realize. There are certain things that occur so often that are so prevalent before us that sometimes we take it for granted. I believe life is one of those things. When you think about life, do you really dive into it to find out what it's really all about? Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. When you ask the question, it's posed this way, you might say, what is life? Well, you go to the dictionary and you find out what the dictionary says. Instead of believing everything that you see and you're exposed to, you say, what is life? And the dictionary will tell you that it's the physical, mental, and spiritual experiences that constitute a person's existence. It is the interval of time between birth and death. Life is. Life is the property or quality that distinguishes living organisms from dead organisms and inanimate matter. Life is. The Greek word for life is Zoe. Z-O-E. We get our English word zoo or zoology from that word Zoe. It literally means the God kind of life. It is used of life as a principal quality of life. I say that again. It is used as a principal quality of life. It is the God kind of life. According to the gospel in John chapter 5, verse 26, life is this. It is the life of God in himself, and which he gave to his incarnate son to have life in himself. Jesus is only able to give life because the Father gave it to him in his form, human form, in his body, incarnate. And because of that, he's able to give it to us. Life that he gives. That's why he's able to say, the life that I give to you. Jesus, in his dialogue with Martha, at the time they were faced with Lazarus's death in John chapter 11, Jesus told Martha, and this is open mic when it was between he and Martha. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Sometimes we read the scripture and we don't accentuate the. Because when he said the life, it shows a disparity between that life and another life. I am the resurrection. I am the life. There is a life that exists apart from God. But if it's apart from God, it's also separated from God. It is said this way. In Ephesians, Paul said, you who he hath quickened, who were once dead. You weren't literally dead, but you were separated from God. You who were once dead in trespasses and sins, Paul puts it that way. And Jesus comes and he starts talking about the life. Depth of life he brings to us. And so it's not just life, but the life. It seems to speak of a designated form of life. A life that God prescribes. If you're not told this, you won't know. If the Bible is not open to you, you won't understand. See, apart from the Word of God, we are lost. You continually live a life that you think that you're prescribed to live. But the life that God prescribes is in the Word of God. What am I saying? You can be living and dead. That's what you may be. You may be dead, and you think you're alive, but you're just a dead man walking. Because you're separated from God. And when you're anything separated from God is dead. When Adam sinned, God told him, the day you sin, you will surely die. God wasn't saying that you would have cessation of breath. You're not going to die just like that because Adam lived hundreds of years more. But God was saying, you have separated yourself from me. And it's amazing that when you're separated from God, you're considered dead. You have life. But you're a dead man walking. You're separated from life. God is the support system for everything. He is life. You got to understand, see, we on the ground floor, we all have life. That's what's so elusive about the mystery, and so many people do not understand, is that they know we're on the ground floor. And when you're on the ground floor, everybody looks alike. Everybody walks alike, talks alike, has the same propensity to sin alike. That's why Paul said, "You hath he quickened who were once dead." He's talking to believers who've learned how to trust in Jesus. But until we have taken that privilege, we're all just alike. We're all on the ground floor with no means of even seeing what it looks like upstairs. You got to understand that the reason we're on the ground floor is because of a fall. Adam once lived in the penthouse of God. It was the fall of Adam and Eve that has placed us on the ground floor of living. Life is now lived on the ground floor because of the fall of man. And when you fall under the similitude of Adam, it only means this, that you have the same nature that Adam has. Same nature. And so you find out that there are two corporate bodies living in this world right now. The body of Christ, the body of Adam. Corporate. When you talk about the old man, you're talking about an old nature. You're talking about a corrupt system. You're talking about the old man called Adam. And every one of us has to deal with the old man, that old nature that seems to raise its head ever so often. We'll get back to that. Jesus said, "I've come not just so you can have ground floor life, but life, that life, which will cause you to rise above your ground floor experience." We all have life. But let me show you something that Paul also said. Go in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Because once you understand that you're on the ground floor, living the ground floor life, you're also living the alienated life. Aliens. Alienated. When you're alienated, it means you are estranged. You're away from. Alienated life. Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. We have to go somewhere today, don't we? Hallelujah. Let's see how far we can go. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 2. I'm going to get there. I know you're there already. There you are. 11. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles, both by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope, and without God in the world. Wow. As an unknowing person of Christ, this is where you dwell. Without hope, without God. You are alienated. This takes the unbeliever title a little bit further, because we see either believer or unbeliever. Save, unsaved. But you need to have, like I said earlier, understanding where you stand. You don't have to be a stranger to the commonwealth of Israel. You don't have to be estranged from God. You don't have to be separated. You don't have to be a dead man walking. There are so many venues that God has provided for us through his Son to be free in Christ. To live a God kind of life. To get up off the ground floor. Rise above where you are. not be satisfied that maybe I'm supposed to be here. No, you're not. The Bible says you're not supposed to be there. Why be somewhere when you're not supposed to be? That's why hell has such a deep depth to it, when you understand that it was not created for humans. The Bible says that hell is reserved for Satan and his angels. If it's reserved for Satan, why are you going? Well, you wouldn't go for somewhere that you ain't supposed to be. You ever pull up in a parking lot and you see a place that says reserved parking? Do you park there? You know it's not yours. Same thing. Why go to hell when it's reserved for somebody else? Reserved for somebody else. The fall has kept us on the ground floor. The fall is what has alienated man from God. Now look in Ephesians chapter 4, since we're there. It'll tell us some more information. Verse 17, we're instructed to live the God kind of life. Paul says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding. See, understanding is very important. It is very important to understand. And separated, and listen to this, they're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Hard hearts means you are unteachable. You're so stuck up on what you know that you're not able to receive what somebody else is trying to impart to you. This keeps a lot of intelligent people from getting what God has for them, intellectually wise. There has to be some real dramatic thing in their life to make them change their way of thinking. But until then, because I don't have the education that you have, that's no reason for you to harden your heart against me. That's right. I still have something to impart. I still have something I can share. You might be smarter than me, but you're hard-hearted. That means you have enough of your own understanding that you can't receive anybody else's truth. I don't want to hear from nobody else because I'm a self-made man. We have those, these self-made people. You know, we'll read about that in a minute too. But selfishness is a serious thing. Now in Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 19, we just read that. Man was locked in a threefold state of alienization. It says he's from the commonwealth of Israel, from the life of God, and from God himself. So that life that Jesus brings speaks of a life full of possibilities. It is life to the full. That is what that literally means. I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. I've come that you may have life and life to the full, overflowing. Another term you might want to use with that is, I've come that you may have the good life. Take it even further. It says this. It says that the life that I give you is the high life. You've heard high life in beer commercials. But it ain't that kind of high life Jesus is talking about. Even though he's the most high God, he's telling you that you can have the high life. The life that overflows, the life that runs to the full, the life that is more than you can handle so other people feed off of your life. That's abundant living. But while you're on the ground floor, you have an experience. You're not just down there because of Adam. You're down there to learn how to survive on the ground floor. While you're on the ground floor, it is a lesson for you. It is an instruction for you. It is a school for you. So that now that you've been on the ground, see, because you can't go to the next step until you learn something on the ground floor. People on the third floor won't want to understand, how did you get up here? Tell me your experience and what have you been through to merit your being uplifted to come up here where I am. You tell him, I've been through the fire. I was on the ground floor and I went through hell to get here. I said, I didn't turn my back on Jesus. My faith hasn't failed me. I didn't stop when they told me to stop, and I wouldn't shut up when they told me to shut my mouth. That's why I'm on the second floor. That's why I'm on the third floor. If you're on the ground floor and you got no testimony, you better not leave. People don't want to hear from you if all you got is a hallelujah and a thank you, Jesus. You better be able to talk to them like you've been where they have. Hey, you can't talk to nobody if you ain't been nowhere. Haven't been through nothing, ain't experienced nothing, never had your heart broken, never had a bad night, never had a separation, never had folk turn their back on you, folk talk behind your back. You've never been a thief, you've never been a robber, you never told it, you never smoked, you never drank, you never been no, don't you testify to nobody. No, you don't belong on the second floor if you ain't never been nowhere. You got to go through some stuff. So God puts all of us on the ground floor. Mm-hmm. So he says, this life that Jesus brings is filled with possibilities. Didn't you notice something? This is how I know that life has a more vast meaning than what we're accustomed to. Because Jesus did not say this, I've come that you may have money. Jesus did not say, I come that you may have money and abundant money. Because he knows that mass money is not better than life. No. And see, we've got this thing twisted because we seem to believe that if we got money, then we have life. No. There are a lot of dead men walking with money. Alienated from God, strangers, separated from God. Got money, but separated. That means that their money is only good while they're here. Jesus said abundant life, meaning that abundant life is going to follow you from here to wherever you go. This life on the ground floor that doesn't include God is only temporary. Once you leave this earth, all that you've accumulated will not go with you. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life, an abundant life. And so we need to get that in order, that money doesn't make a man. Money doesn't make a woman. People say that. But see, that's the kind of conversation that goes on the ground floor. Help me, Holy Ghost. You hear that kind of conversation on the ground floor, and you have to have some wisdom and some understanding to know that that's not God talking. That's not from heaven. That's from earth. That's earth perspective. In other words, that's Adam talking. God Almighty, that's the system of Adam conversing with you, trying to keep you below when you should be above. Ground floor. Life on the ground floor can be hard. You learn some serious lessons on the ground floor. And the thing is that when you learn these lessons on the ground floor, you have to have a predetermined spirit about you that I'm not going to stay here. I'm planning on going somewhere. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I got my mind made up. I got a focus that I won't be here always. Trouble don't last always. I'm going a little bit higher than where I am. Talk to me like I live down here, but you won't be talking long. I won't be here. I'm going to the next level. See, you can be on the ground for a believer, and guess what you still do? You still cuss. You still fornicating. Believers on the ground floor. See, if you don't want to go further, you're going to do that kind of stuff. You're going to permeate the ground floor. You're going to act just like them folk behaving that don't know Jesus. Act just like them. And if you stay there, Jesus is going to say this at the end of time. He's going to say, it's wheat and tare. They look just alike. Don't cut them down. Don't separate them. Let them grow together on the ground floor. Then you realize on the ground floor, everybody start looking alike, sounding alike. You got a few people down there saying hallelujah that's saved, and a few saying hallelujah that's not. Can't tell the difference. Ground floor. That's life on the ground floor. You got to have something in you that's going to rise above that. John chapter 1 verse 4 says, life was in him. And that life was the light of men. When you read that, it says not only that life that we're talking about, but it calls Jesus that light. There is a despairing thing there because it lets you know that there is another one. He said that light. That means that there's another one that may not be the authentic. That life was in him. And then it calls that light the light of man. See, on the ground floor, this is wonderful how he does this. He gives men light so that men on the ground floor can lead people in the darkness on the ground floor to the second. Good God. He puts light in men and women on the ground floor. So that's why you got to stay down there and get your lesson. Learn why you're there. Get the things that's necessary to survive on the next level. See, the ground floor is nothing but a school. It trains you how to behave wisely. It teaches you how to walk like Christ. It tells you how to respond in a godly fashion. It shows you that this is how I'm going to have to live to get out of here. I have to have the God kind of life. Life on the ground floor. So much stuff is done on the ground floor, but the greatest thing is the lesson that we learn on the ground floor. And that's why when people see you sometime and things that faze other people don't faze you, you need to look at them and say, I learned that on the ground floor. Where you get the attitude from? Ground floor, baby. Ground floor. That's why I learned that. I learned that on the ground floor. See, those are life lessons that God avails to us. That's why a lot of men can't get off the ground floor because he tries to get off the ground floor with his own light. He tries to get off the ground floor with his own light. And it's not designed like that. It's designed so that the light that gets you off the ground floor comes from a higher source. It has to be the life that's in him. God had life in himself. He gave it to his incarnate son to have it in himself so that his son could in turn give it to man to have it in himself. But if you think you have life on your own, you're going to be a big shot on the ground floor. To everybody on the ground floor, they think you bad. Oh, you bad, you bad, you rich, you got this, you got all that. See, them ground folk down there, if they're not focused on Christ, they focus on somebody who look good, who got this. Oh, he got that, he has this, I like him. People get enamored over superstars. I'm talking to the ground floor now. Here's somebody simply because they got a voice and they attract a lot of attention. We think they holy, holy. Mighty God, look at that. God, thank you, Jesus. But these people who you are building up are people trying to get to the next level on their own light. They may look elevated to you, but they're still on the ground floor. You ever seen a big floor? I mean, a real big one? You ever been in a building where the floor is just big? That's what the ground floor is like. Just huge. You ever seen a huge floor with one roach crawling across it? You ever see what happens to him when you cut the light on? Yeah. All of them. Ground floor. Cut the light on and they scatter. Cut the light on the ground floor and watch those sinners scatter. Watch them run because they're afraid of the light. But that doesn't stop you from shining bright. You have to shine your light in spite of that. Regardless of the environment that you're in, regardless of the job that you're on, and regardless of the people in your family, you still have to explain to them that the light that you have comes from God. It's not my own light. Even John the Baptist told them that. John told them when they confronted him, I am not that light. See, that light shows you this is something, man. That light must be special. That light that God has put in man must be special. That's why he can direct. That's why the footsteps of a righteous man are ordered. They're ordered because the light and the life of God is in that individual. And if God is directed, it's just like you holding a flashlight. God is holding you in his hand, and he's shining his light wherever he wants to. The flashlight doesn't do the moving. The flashlight doesn't do the walking. The flashlight just shows the light. Ordered of God. God shines you in a neighborhood. God shines you in the crack house. God shines you in the club. God shines you in a family. God shines you where don't nobody else want to go. God shines you. It's nothing that you can do. You're just a vessel of light. So sometimes when you open your mouth and the light comes out, they run. Talk to me, Holy Spirit. Sometimes you open your mouth and out comes light, and the first thing they want to do is run. I want to talk about that. But they come and ask you a question. You mean to tell me Jesus is the only way? You open your mouth and out comes the light. And yes, he is. He is the only way. He is the only way. Like we said, the key is understanding. We understand. My wife taught something Wednesday night. She came out of Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you. Let. That's the word that she accentuated. Let. Which speaks of what? You embrace. Yeah, you able to let this mind. You embrace this mind of Christ so that it can be your mind. For the scripture tells us we have the mind of Christ. Why must our mind be renewed? Because you're on the ground floor. And on the ground floor, everybody thinks alike. Jesus came so that you can get off the ground floor and you will stop thinking like everybody else. You'll stop thinking, amen, like Adam. See, when you think like that, you're thinking like corporate Adam. You're thinking like Adam's system. You're thinking like everything has always been this way and nothing is going to change. But Jesus stepped out of glory, walked down the streets of Jerusalem, start changing the way people think, changing the way people live. They got so upset because he was talking this way while they were going that way. Even the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious community didn't understand Jesus because he was walking contrary to what they thought. He was walking contrary to their system. He was walking that direction while they were coming this way. And when they saw him, they just past him. Truth will make you cause people to hate you. People will despise you because you're constantly telling the truth, because you live in the light of the truth, because you walk in the truth. People don't like that. Why? Because you're going against the system. You're going against the system. That's not the way I was raised, but you need to be raised again. I wasn't born like that. You must be born again. And so Paul in Romans said that you have to have your mind renewed. Be not conformed to this world. This world system that Adam has set up because of his fall. Paul said, don't be conformed to that. It may look good, but it's not the truth. It may sound good, but it's not the truth. Don't be conformed to that. Don't be cut in the world's cookie cutter. but be ye transformed. Be ye transformed. Transformed from the head to the toe. Transformed spirit, soul, and body. Made somebody new. You need to have a metamorphosis. You need to go through something that you've never been through and become something that you've never been. In order to get to the second floor, you have to be changed. There is places on the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh floor that you can't take with you those things on the ground floor. That's why Jesus said in order to get off the ground floor, you must be born again. I didn't say you can go to hell or heaven. I said ground floor. People sometimes have a tendency to run when you say hell. But if you put it in common terms, where you can actually visualize it and say to yourself, I'm tired of living on the bottom. Because on the ground floor, there's nothing less. Once you hit ground, that's it. You tell me you can commit suicide, you're going to jump out the first floor window? What? Who going to believe you? You ain't going to die jumping out that door and hoping you're going to fall something. You're going to fall right there on the concrete. Ground floor. So, our thinking must be changed. See? Our understanding is done with our mind. It is the place of perception, the place of judgment, place of feelings, place of determining. Those are places that are sacred. Those are places where the enemy would love to have control. He would love to have control of your mind. Because your mind is the seat of who you are. If the enemy can get his hands in your mind, he'll dance with you all night long. If he can just get control. And that's why he works so hard to have control of your mind. He's battling because he knows that God wants that mind of ours to be a fortress for him. God wants to be the God of my mind. Paul said it in Romans, I believe Paul said, I serve him with my mind. See, it's in your mind that the enemy wants to have control of you. It's in your mind that he can tell you what you can't be. It's in your mind he'll tell you that you can't rise above the ground floor. The enemy will come and suggest to you. He doesn't have any power over you, but he does have suggestions. He'll suggest that you do this, suggest that you do that. You'd be surprised what goes on the down floor when the enemy's in control. He's down there talking, he's yakking, he's telling you. He keeps you locked up in the past. You'll never get through your past. You're always tied down to your past. You can't be your future as long as you're tied down in your past. I'm this in the past. God forgave you for that. You're still wrestling with it. God delivered you from that. You're still wrestling with it. God set you free from that. You're still fighting demons from the past. God is saying, don't look back there. Stop looking in the rearview mirror. Drive straight ahead. I got something for you if you stop wrestling with it yourself. Devil down there on the ground floor telling you all kinds of stuff and you listening. Hearing everything he says, he's determined to keep you down. You can't go forward. You can't be what God called you to be. The God kind of life is for your plan. It's for your purpose. It's for God to move in your life to put you where you ought to be. Stop wrestling and trying to do it yourself. God didn't put any man on earth to do anything for himself. Anything has to be done in his name, in his glory. And when you do it in his name, you're only doing it by faith. And if you're moving by faith, God steps in front of you and does it for you. I'm doing it in his name. That means God can come to your rescue and do it for you. Because it's his name, he's going to defend his name. It's not your name that's important, but God's going to defend his. I'm God, there is no other, he says. Moses, God, what should I tell them? Who sent me? I am told you to send me. That's who told you. I am. God is always standing on the crevice of trying to stand before man and do what man can't do. But we won't let him because we're still tied to the ground floor. See, when you move off the ground floor, your mentality begins to change. Your thought process begins to change. Your mentality begins to change. Your attitude begins to change. Your courage builds up. Your joy becomes increased. Your faith begins to blow up on the inside because you were one who was once there. And now you're out. I'm on the second floor. And God said, well, child, come on up. I got 16 more floors to go. And everyone is better. Everyone is greater. It's called levels of maturity in Christ. There is a perfection that awaits all of us. But we have to have our hearts bent towards serving Christ in order to get there. That means there's no room for hypocrisy. You can't be a lukewarm Christian and try to make it to the second or third. You can't love that. Can't endear that to yourself. And so what we have to do to get off the ground floor, you have to begin to shed some of the skin that you're in. Oh, you got to shed it. You got to shed it. You got to take it off. You got to take all that stuff that you were born on the third floor, on the ground floor with, and begin to take it off. I got to take off my backbiting. I got to see. The Bible tells us you got to take the old man off. See, you can't. You got to. What did the scripture says? This it says, lay aside every weight that so easily besets you. That means you got to lay off stuff that keeps you. Let me take it off. And I know it's a struggle. Let's go to the scriptures. I know it's a struggle. See, once you've been born somewhere, you get used to it. That's why man created out of dust, like hanging around dirty stuff. You're not physically dirty or dingy, but you like dirty stuff. You see? You like hanging out dirty places that you can get dirty. You may not see it, but heaven sees it. You might be dressed up, and you cleaner than everybody in the room, but you're in a dirty place. And by the time you leave there, you dirty and don't even know it. You're hanging out with dirty, dingy folk that do dirty, dingy deeds, and they act dirty and dingy, and you're hanging around them. Don't you know that bad behavior corrupts good behavior? Bad company corrupts good behavior. You say, well, they nice. They just smoke every now and then. How nice can somebody be who smokes every now and then? Everybody who smokes now and then end up an addict. I'm talking to folk. Y'all act like y'all ain't never got high. Somebody talk to me in here. They ain't never been to the club. Ain't never had a drink on the bar. Ain't never sipped none. Ain't never had left. Ain't never left a club tipsy. Praying to Jesus like you're saving because you can drive in the car because you don't hit nobody. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Get me home, Jesus. I ain't gonna do it no more. Ain't even started the car yet. Tip no, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to get off the ground floor. Stop hanging out with folk on the ground floor. Folk on the ground floor have influence. They'll influence you to do something wrong. Influence you to get dirty. Influence you to smell funky. Stop! The people on the ground floor, they're not determined to take you to the next level because they can't get there themselves. Got to have your mind renewed. Got to have your mind renewed. Hebrews 12 and 1. We're going to go over it again. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. But I got to give you this because next week is something else. The series is entitled Life Is. You want the CD, you better get it back there. But this will be the beginning of something beautiful. Something very beautiful. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily besets us or entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You got people on the ground for all them running to the door. they really feel like I'm doing what the Lord told me to do. He's calling me. See, once you get on the ground floor and you start hearing his voice, you start running. Good God Almighty. You understand that you got a protective shield over you while he's calling you. You know what's going on down on the ground floor. Everybody's experiencing what we're experiencing. All of us are going through the same economy. But you know what is different? Your perspective. See, it's how you look at this economy and how the prognosticators point it to you. Either you can believe everything they say and succumb to defeat and succumb to the bad news and fall prey to whatever they say, or you're going to keep your mind on Christ because you know he's the creator of all things. And if he set this world in order, he's not retired from keeping things the way he wanted it to be. And so he says, lay aside, throw it off. See, before you can put on Christ, you got to take off stuff. Ooh. You got to take off that old man. You got to take Adam off. You got to take the Adam system off. That's what the ground floor experience is all about. See, once you get ready to come out of that, you got to start taking stuff off. God, I got to take off my backbiting. I can't go forward. Got to take off my lying. Got to take off my cheating. Got to take off my lukewarmness. I got to take it off. It's difficult sometimes, but it comes off. It's difficult. See, it doesn't come off just like that. Help me, somebody. See, that's why people who get saved and smoke, they still got to go back and get a hit every now and then. Because it doesn't come off all at once. It takes time. God from Zion. It takes time. And so while you're still smoking, you're still praising God. And that taste hasn't been delivered out of your mouth. Help me, Holy Ghost. That taste bud hadn't been taken out of your mouth yet. And so you're taking it off, but you're taking it off slow. Folk around you on the ground floor say, well, you ought to stop by now. But you ain't listening to the people on the ground floor. You got to have strength and confidence in God that I'm shedding the old man. I'm taking off this spirit. I'm taking off the hidden sins. I'm laying aside every weight. I got to take everything off. I got to take off the religious spirit. And more than anything else, I got to learn how to take off pride. I got to take the pride off. I got to take the pride off. Anything that makes me look good, anything that makes me better than somebody else in my mind, I got to take it off. Think you better than somebody else? You think pride is not, you think pride is below what other people do in sin? Pride is at the top of the list. Pride is what got Satan kicked out of heaven. He has so much pride, God said, you got to go. Lay it aside. He said, lay aside every weight. If it hinders you, lay it aside. Listen to what he's saying now. If it hinders you, lay it aside. Whatever stops you from going forward in Christ, lay it aside. If it's a person, lay it aside. Huh? You got to lay it aside. If it hinders your relationship, if it's going to keep you on the ground floor, you don't need it. Now, once you start taking off, then you're able to put on. See, you can't put a coat if you got a coat on. Why put another coat on when you got a coat on? Take off the old. Go buy a brand new coat. Go to Burlington Coat Factory. Wear your old coat in there with you. Take that new coat and try to put it on top of your old coat. People in Burlington think you crazy. Why are you trying to put that new coat on top of that old coat? You look crazy. See, some people try to put Christ on top of their misdoings. They try to put Christ on over their wrong deeds. You see, things they haven't been delivered from, they still dealing, still slipping, tipping, midnight dipping. You know, they try to put Christ on top of that. You can't slip and slide. You can't sneak around on Christ. I'm telling you, he's the light. And even in the dark, Christ got a light on. Here we putting on, trying to put on Christ. On top of everything that we got underneath. It won't work. So you got to learn how to put on Christ. That's how you get off the ground floor. Because the Bible says in him. And have my being. I'm in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he gets up off the main floor. I'm off the ground floor, because I'm a new creature in Christ. I got no business being down there. Nothing new hangs around on the ground floor. Nothing new created hangs out on the ground floor. Nothing of Christ is on the ground floor. He's elevated me. What does the scripture say? The promotion of the Lord doesn't come from the east or west, but it coming from the Lord. I'm in Christ. You want to get off the ground floor? Get in Christ. Huh? You got to get in Christ. Get off the ground floor. It's in him that we live. In him that we move. In him that we have our being. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus the praise in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm off the ground floor. Hallelujah, I'm off the ground floor. Glory to God.